Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you talking about? This is Wretched Radio. Needless to say, there is much going on in our world that urges us to have conversations about what in the world is going on. The question that I believe a Christian should ask and answer is, what are we talking about? Turn on Fox, turn on your local news, the CNN, whatever your preference is, and you will hear pundits that are pontificating on all kinds of issues. And Christians, while we certainly can have thoughts and opinions on all of those things, we bring a unique perspective to all social and political issues. If only we would remember that. Let me take you back in time, give or take 2,000 years. Were there social issues going on in the nation of Israel? Were there political skirmishes? Were there tensions among people? And the answer to those questions is, oh, most certainly there were. You had different sects of Jews. You had zealots. You had Pharisees. You had Sadducees. You had people that had a different take on how a Jew was to live in the first century. What is our attitude toward Rome? The zealots, they believed it's time to kick out the bums. Jesus said, pay your taxes. There were definitely different takes on culture and society. Were there any trade issues? Were there economic issues? Were there financial issues? And the answer to that question is yes, 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 and yes. And so that raises a question. What did Jesus talk about? And can we take his lead in the 21st century to carefully consider how it is that you and I engage in the issues that are raging right now in our culture? Can you and I follow his lead and perhaps bring his message to a situation that is currently painful? It is ugly. It is riddled with violence, animosity. Will we talk like a talking head on a TV show, or will we take the lead of Jesus Christ and talk about the one thing that can help all of these problems? To make my case, permit me to simply share with you what was going on at the time of Jesus Christ. There are some historical records that tell us what the issues of the day were. These are ones I'm almost certain you have never, ever heard about. And Jesus could have spoken up on these, but you'll never read it in the Gospels. From history, Galilee was an important trading route for international use because of its location. The Galileans themselves would have traded their products to big cities around the eastern part of the empire. This view was based on lively counteractions between Galilean cities and villages. For example, it was argued Galilean villagers used to sell their products at the markets in Sepphoris and Tiberias. Concluding from some remains of coinage, the Galileans were supposed to have even remarkable trading with olive oil to Syria, especially to its big trading city, Tyrus. Jesus was aware of that. The Galilean was aware of the trade routes that were in place at the time, the rates perhaps of olive oil, what a wage was on the dock. Did he comment on those things? Well, perhaps he talked about them in private company, but that was not what he brought to the conversation of the day, at least recorded for us, because he was about a higher business, a bigger message. He was about what? Bringing the gospel to lost sinners. And he didn't enter the fray on these issues. Let me share some more history. Herod Antipas, needing to expand his revenues in order to fund his ambitious city building, developed fishing into an industry. Working through brokers as intermediaries, the king supplied the equipment, especially the costly large 26-foot boats that required a crew of five or six. Collaborative crews evidently contracted to deliver a certain percentage of amount of their catch to the processing depots in return for keeping the rest, like sharecroppers. Antipas wanted to honor the emperor by building two Roman cities in Galilee. These cities that were under the construction process when Jesus was a young man were Sepphoris and Tiberias, which became the only cities in Galilee with all the pagan buildings like temples and theaters. Sepphoris was rebuilt after the deconstruction by the Romans, now in a more Roman style as a new capital of Galilee. Did you hear Jesus commenting on these issues? He did not. Did he have an opinion? Oh, I'm certain that he did. Did he perhaps discuss these among friends? Sure, I'll bet at dinner conversation it came up. But when he was speaking publicly, we do not have record of Jesus Christ entering into the fray. Does that mean that he had nothing to say that was contemporary? Absolutely not. He did. But his message was uniquely Christian. Repent. Believe the gospel. Consider Luke 13. You have got yourself a scandal that broke. A tower falls. Maybe there was shoddy construction. Maybe they didn't have the correct fences in place. Maybe it was because they hired bad bricklayers for a cheaper rate. And what was his response when that tower collapsed? Repent or you'll perish. No commentary, no criticisms. Repent or you will perish. What about those Jews who were murdered at the altar by Pontius Pilate? Did Jesus Christ comment on Pontius Pilate? No, not that we have record of. Did he make any sort of commentary about the history of the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles? Nope, don't see it. What did he say? Repent, or you likewise will perish. Over and over and over again on a daily basis, issues were swirling in Israel. And the record that we have of Jesus Christ and his words and his thoughts were all on a different level. Are the issues of our day important? Of course they are. It's imbalanced for us to have the mindset, no, we just think about heaven. No, we don't just think about heaven. We think about it more. But what happens on this planet, it is real. It is important. And it affects real people, and so we care. This does not mean that we have no interest in these things. We do, and it doesn't mean that we can't talk about these things. We most certainly can. But if we're going to take the lead of Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that our message is the message that can actually do something about the problem. Do we not have problems? Do we not see hatred? Do we not see attitudes that are wicked? Of course we certainly are. And there is no doubt about it that your home, like mine, has been consumed with these conversations. And as I just step back to ponder, so what is it that we should be talking about with the world? Do we jump into all of these individual issues? I want to be clear. Yes, we can talk about these things. Of course we can. But if we fail to bring the message of Jesus Christ to these situations, I think we failed. And I think, quite honestly, most likely, whatever your position is on the current issues that we are watching on our news, I almost think we hurt more than we help. Has anybody yet said something that has caused you to go, I've changed my mind about everything. I'm going to stop my behavior. I've had this all wrong. Have you heard anything? Really? Do we really believe that a piece of legislation is going to fix the current problems? Do we believe that some sort of article being read in the most prominent of publications is somehow going to bring our country together? Do we really think that a scold or a chide is going to get people to have a better attitude toward one another? Do we really think that what you and I have to say on any one of the myriad of issues that are involved in this complex, nasty ball of twine that we call racial relations is suddenly going to get unwound and made better, and people are going to heal and love one another because of something trite or a meme or something that is presented on a Hallmark movie? Or is it possible that you and I are the only ones that actually have the unique message that could bring about healing and change and love? Maybe, just maybe, it is time to take the lead of Jesus Christ on these social issues and ask ourselves the question, what am I talking about? This is Wretched Radio.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Appreciate you being here. Glad you would spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. Also appreciate when you get a hold of us, making it, you know, more of a conversation. Love to hear your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, or a piece of your wretched story. idea@wretched.org works great. Or if you want a voicemail, try Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. From the mailbag, let me share this. Just wanted to say thank you for the videos y'all post. I just recently converted to Christianity 7 months ago, and I've recently won the battle against suicide thanks to Christ. Amen. And I have learned a lot from watching y'all's videos, so thank you, Todd Friel, and the rest of the Wretched crew. Email us your wretched story, idea@wretched.org, voicemail 1-877-282-BEEP. If you'd like to partner with us to make more stories like this possible, visit wretched.org/donate for details. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Good news? Yeah! Lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right. Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 590 AD. Gregory becomes Pope Gregory I, known as the Great. He made treaties with Germanic tribes, independent of the emperor, and declared the Bishop of Rome's primacy over the whole church, increasing the political and spiritual power of the papacy significantly. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you and I talking about? And what should we be talking about? Maybe two different things. This is Wretched Radio. Permit me to share with you a laundry list of items you and I could be discussing. These are subjects that are swirling around what you and I have been watching in the news, where our no doubt our jaws have been dropping, starting with the video of George Floyd handcuffed on his face with a man's knee on his neck for 8 minutes. And he died. Was anybody not absolutely shocked by that, sickened by that? I don't know about you. I couldn't watch more than about 10 seconds of it. Couldn't do it. So I thought, I'll read the transcript of what happened. That was worse, to read a grown man begging for his life and then saying, "Mama, Mama," before he passed out and then ultimately died. Anybody else not staggered by that? And then the ensuing looting that took place? Anybody else not shocked by that? So you and I, no doubt, confronted by all of these images, it is the talk du jour. It is also the talk of the day. You and I are invited into all kinds of conversations, and I am not suggesting that you and I cannot have them. But I would like to suggest to you, if we want to do any good and to make an impact and to actually affect change, we must follow the example of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul in how they dealt with social issues. And the answer to the question, how did they engage, is they didn't. There were tons of headlines that broke, whether it was local, national, even international. Word got around, and there were plenty of conversations that took place. And Paul was confronted with these issues. So was Jesus. And we don't read about one of them in the New Testament. Instead, Paul preached nothing but Christ and him crucified. Why? Because he knew that that was the key to changing people's hearts, not just their behavior, but to actually changing them. And that is the unique Christian message. And if you and I want to chat about all of these subjects at the dinner table, of course, knock yourself out. But if we are going to have conversations with other people, might I suggest they are uniquely Christian? Because anything short of a supernatural intervention is not going to fix this massive problem. It's not uniquely American, but wow, it is perhaps one of the greatest demonstrations, not the only, and there's others that have been worse in history, of racial tension between people groups. And if we think that some sort of punditry is going to fix these problems, let me try to make my case. I have written down for your consideration a laundry list of subjects that are swirling around racial relations in the United States right now. And I'm going to read these to you without commentary, without telling you what I think about any of these things. But I have simply put this list together for us to recognize these things can't be fixed with conversations at the water cooler. These things can't be helped with understanding stories. Now, those things have a place. But if we think that just talking about these things and weighing in with our opinion, which is loaded with a million memories, with a million experiences, with a million preferences, that we are somehow going to bring about harmony, I think we've forgotten. The world now, if this last week has not demonstrated that the world right now needs a supernatural intervention, I don't know what does. I don't know what will persuade a Christian to stop keeping our eyes on the lower level issues and start thinking bigger. Start thinking with a God perspective and what our mission and role is here on this planet. Here's the list. See if you think that a water cooler conversation is going to fix these. Right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not presenting these issues as any sort of critique or commentary. I'm sharing this list because it's so massive and it's so profound. Do we really think that a radio show is going to fix this? Do we think a TV show, a special on CBS, Racial Relations in America, really gonna fix all of this? In no particular order, right, wrong, indifference. George Floyd, you've got an opinion on that. So do others. Michael Brown, Ahmaud Arbery, got an opinion on that? What's your take? So do others. Police brutality. Fatherlessness. Racism. Anger. Welfare. The hip-hop culture. Donald Trump. Barack Obama. Identity politics. Slavery. An agitating media. Inner city violence. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. The KKK. Lynchings. Systemic racism. Charlotte church shooting. Rioting and looting. Education. The University of Michigan study on systemic racism in the police forces of America. Colin Kaepernick. Oppression. The prosperity gospel. Tone deaf white leaders. Antifa. White supremacy. Think a meme's going to fix this? You think that a Fox special is going to present the information that we all need to persuade us to love one another? Do we even think that having conversations about our experiences, as helpful as that may be, do we think it's going to fix this? Do we even think that just understanding one another is going to make this better? They are woefully inadequate to the task. They have no chance of fixing these problems. If this past week has not proved beyond the shadow of a doubt, our nation's problem is a sin problem, biblical language to describe a biblical problem, which gives us hope because then we have a biblical solution, then I don't know what it will take for the American church to wake up and start talking like Jesus in regard to social issues. He addressed it with the only solution: repent and believe the gospel. Paul came to a city filled with problems, filled with political corruption, filled with attitudes, filled with debauchery. I preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. I would ask a question of you, and I would ask a question of me. For all of the people with whom you have engaged so far over this last week on this subject, have you talked about the biblical solution once? Did you weigh in on any of these issues? I'll bet you did. I know I did. Did I bring the solution to the problem? Did we offer up the real diagnosis, or did we simply fall into the trap of using secular lingo framed with secular thoughts and ideologies when we fail to identify the problem by using biblical language? We will never find a biblical solution. So here's what we've got, America. We've got a sin problem. We've got an unregenerated culture. And we have got hearts that are prone to be hateful. Unregenerate people, regenerate people need this unique Christian message that Jesus died for sinners. And now there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, black and white, slave, free, rich, poor, male or female, because we can be one in Christ. That is the unique Christian message. I would ask you, what are you talking about? This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. If you haven't heard, South Bay United Pentecostal Church must limit its in-person worship services to 100 people after the U.S. Supreme Court denied its emergency appeal. The San Diego area congregation sued to block California's coronavirus-related restrictions that limits church attendance to 25% capacity with a maximum of 100. Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the four more liberal justices in rejecting the appeal late on Friday, saying the state's temporary limits on church services appear consistent with the free exercise clause of the First Amendment, in part because similar restrictions apply to movie theaters, concerts, and other large gatherings. Rules about corporate worship vary among the states, and similar cases are making their way through the courts. Justices Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Thomas said they think California's rules violate the U.S. Constitution because a litany of other secular businesses don't have those same occupancy caps. Long as we're in California, parents and grandparents questioning the curriculum of Teen Talk. It normalizes sexual activity and homosexuality and teaches preteens and teenagers that they could be born in the wrong body. One parent took photos of pages from the curriculum and circulated them among friends, churches, and others. Parents and grandparents made enough noise that the Downey Unified School District decided not to use the Teen Talk curriculum. But state lawmakers and public school districts in other parts of California and across the country are in the process of implementing similar comprehensive sex ed curriculum. Their increasingly graphic sexual content and pro-LGBT message target students as young as kindergarten, often without parents' knowledge. The Family Research Council does provide a universal opt-out letter for parents to submit to schools for any class, lesson, instruction, curriculum, assembly, guest speaker, activity, assignment, library material, online material, club group, or association addressing transgenderism, sexual activity, sexual orientation, abortion, or contraception. But the issue won't go away. California public school districts are required to comply with the California Healthy Youth Act, passed in 2015, which broadly requires medically accurate and age-appropriate comprehensive sex ed in schools. Wow. Parents must stay ever vigilant. If you have your prayer list out, suspected Fulani herdsmen attacked more than 10 settlements in the mostly Christian Adara community in central Nigeria over 4 days last week. At least 20 died in the day-long carnage that left several others injured or missing. In another separate spate of terrorism, earlier in May, armed insurgents killed at least 25 people in five villages. Praying for our brothers and sisters? And I trust we are praying for demonstrators and authorities alike in this time of unrest. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. Esther is the story of a Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia. After a plot to destroy the Jews is uncovered, Esther risks her life to save her people. She appeals to the king, who kills the conspirators and allows the Jews to defend themselves. When you face persecution, remember God is able to save his people through all kinds of circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, man, you're just copping out. I don't think so. This is Wretched Radio, the conversation du jour. It is about racial relations in America. How do we fix this problem? I would like to suggest to you, I can't. And that is why I think we would do well to consider what
Wait.
I'm sorry. You think
you're
I can't fix
everything?
You're
a talk show host.
Exactly.
You're a talk show host. You know everything. I've listened to all of them. They all know everything.
Well, that's what I secretly think also. But I do know that there's a thing called reality. And there is nothing that I am going to say that would be anything other than another voice in a chorus of voices. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Just pick any one of the issues that are swirling around the subject and the images that we're seeing on our TV. Pick one of them. All right. Police brutality. Pick it. I'm going to say something that's going to cause everybody to go, oh, why didn't we ask Todd? We've been so foolish. He was the one who brought the correct perspective to all of this and made everybody happy. I was about to pick the issue of slavery. Yes, I have got the solution to make everybody feel better about it. I can take the complex history of racial relations in America from the Founding Fathers' debate over slavery, Declaration of Independence, the Civil War, Jim Crow laws, and the Civil Rights Movement, and I've got it figured out for you.
I already read that article.
I'm going to tell you exactly how you should think about it and understand the issue. How ridiculous is that? And might I suggest, dear friend, it's equally ridiculous for any Christian to engage on these issues thinking we're going to bring about peace. Can we talk about these subjects? I'm not saying that. But if all we're doing is just regurgitating what we think that we know, our opinion offered, whether it's experiential, whether it is statistical, whether it is historical, clang, 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 clang. We need more clanging going on. We need more voices vying for everybody's attention to say things that are being said everywhere. What can we offer to this party that is unique? How's about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, that is just so simplistic. Yes. Yes, it is. But I would like to suggest to you it is also so biblical. Consider what was going on in first century Galilee, first century Rome, and our problems of racial animosity, you see them on full display. In fact, you could try to make the case that it was worse, that the attitudes toward people groups and classes and genders was actually worse than what we're seeing today. And what is the engagement of Jesus Christ? What does the Apostle Paul say about all of these issues? And the answer is, they didn't speak directly to these little individual cultural phenomenon. Does that mean that they didn't teach on things that guide us through this? Most certainly did. But if there isn't a heart change and then an application of broad theologies to be applied to specific situations, nothing's going to get better. It's just, if we can't see right now that this thing is such a mess, that people are groping for words and solutions,
I actually turned on a little bit of Fox News. We're flipping through the channels, and we've been on a Fox fast now for years. And I caught Laura Ingraham giving her monologue, and it was lengthy, and she actually went off script at the end. I could tell, because she was just reaching. And she said something like, we're at a point right now where we need, she's struggling for words. She can't find her words. We need revival. This is a battle for the soul of America. And I went, you're getting warm, Laura. You're getting warmer. Who are we as a people? What is our common understanding? Do we all have the same American vision? The ideals that America basically coalesced around? The answer is no. So my question to Laura is, so what's going to make this happen? We need to go into the education system, and we need to start teaching kids that the founding fathers actually had ideals that were sort of biblical. They were sort of a little bit Enlightenment era, but overall, well, they were really, really good. And we need to salute these principles and live by them and be strict adherence to a constitutional interpretation. Okay, that might help something. But is it going to change people's mind about police brutality, George Floyd, racism, issues of welfare and fatherlessness? What are their attitude toward Donald Trump or Barack Obama? Their attitude toward the KKK? Their understanding of people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton? What we do with the education issues, opportunity issues, the prosperity church? All these things are overwhelmingly profound and deep and a mess. And you and I can perhaps come up with a bit of a harmony in our brain, how we put all of these things together. But there are very few who are going to match your puzzle and how you put all of these pieces together. And so we engage in the fray and we talk and we ramble and we bring our perspectives. And if I think, I'm going to bring a solution, the history books will be written. And in the year 2020, when the country was struggling with racial animosity and tensions, while there are people dying in the streets, looting and violence, a man named Todd Friel turned on his microphone, and he spoke for 11 minutes, and he fixed the problem.
Todd, it would take at least two segments. Days.
then we're fools. And if you're thinking, oh, this is just that comfortable Christian position, hold on, it's not. Consider what Paul said in Galatians. He said there's something that brings people together, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider the solution that is screamed at us. You want a commentary about how to fix the problem. You probably have glossed over this section of scripture, I'll bet 100 times, and didn't stop to go, hey, wait a second. This is the solution to our current problem. Consider Ephesians chapter 2. You start at verse 1, talks all about the gospel. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. God made us alive together in Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith. Now, do the works that God has prepared for you. Step into them. Get busy. Yes, yes. I love all of that stuff. But then continue after verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 2, which gives this glorious gospel presentation. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh. Hey, what's this all about? He's talking about Gentiles. Huh. Because there's a big difference between Jews and Gentiles. There is an animosity between those two parties that is staggering. The Jewish people, who esteemed themselves rightly so as God's chosen people, they looked around at the goyim, the nations, the gens, and they saw these people. They were sacrificing babies to idols. They saw sexual perversion of the highest order. They saw wickedness. They saw armies that would cut off the heads of the soldiers and put them on a pike and then line their driveway into the city so that anybody who thought, you know, maybe we could take over this place would think twice about it. And there's the Jewish, holy set apart people. Think there wasn't an attitude there? And do you think that there wasn't hatred from the Gentiles toward these snooty Jews who thought they were God's chosen people. They thought they had the only true and living God when they lived in a pluralistic society. The animosity was fierce. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And guess what else Paul talks about? You who were near, you're closer to the things of God. Guess what? You too needed to be brought near. It's not just the goyim. You too needed to be brought near. And you were in Jesus Christ. And now Christ is our peace. Christ is our cornerstone. Christ is the one in whom we have unity. Is my take on the issues a bit naive? No. I'd like to think it's a bit biblical. You and I, we've got attitudes and ideas and opinions about these subjects. Feel free to have those conversations as you see fit. But you and I are delusional if we think that you and I are going to bring a solution to the party that is different than what the Bible prescribes, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a naive take. That is a Christian take. This is Wretched Radio.
Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day, people are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Here at Wretched, we rely on our gospel partners because without you, there is no us. To show you how much we appreciate you and how much we need you, we wrote you a haiku. Please partner with Wretched. You will not regret it. Counting is hard. Okay, I'm the first to admit, not very good at haikus, but we do truly still need and appreciate our gospel partners. Our gospel partners not only help us keep the lights on around here, but they allow us to keep making Wretched every day. So if you are a gospel partner, thank you very much for your support. We do truly appreciate you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you consider it? If you love listening to Wretched and want to continue to hear us every day, visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. And no more haikus. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Hold on to your socks. This might just blow them off. The Masters Academy International, brilliant on every level. There are thousands of empty pulpits around the globe. What have they done? Established mini seminaries, training centers in 16 nations to equip indigenous men to fill those pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Masters Academy International has an even higher goal. This is from Samara, Russia.
The objective is not only to place the preachers of local churches on a biblical basis. The goal is not just to give them knowledge. The highest priority is to change the character, to create a minister of a completely different level than it was before, a preacher of a new generation.
Amazing. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International in their endeavor to do just that? Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called
the friend of sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is the solution? Just read Galatians chapter 3. This is Wretched Radio. Opinions flying everywhere. Pundits offering their prescriptions for fixing the racial problems. And I say knock yourself out if you would like to, but I do believe that you and I, dear Christian, we are confused if we think that we are going to bring much, if anything, that is helpful to the conversation if we do not bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it an immediate fix? No, it is not. Is it a long haul? You bet it is. But most important, is it biblical? And I believe the answer is yes. What is the solution for our social ills? It is not social justice per se. It is God's justice. Understanding the biggest court case on the planet is the one that you and I are headed toward. Every single person that you saw on TV that made you gasp, whether it was the police officer or the looters, whoever, just they got a big problem. Their court date is coming soon, and they're going to face Jesus Christ, and they will give an account for every thought, word, and deed, and they will be sentenced rightly forever. And that thought should cause us to keep our eye on the prize. And here is the bonus. When we go about the business of proclaiming forgiveness of sins to people who are in desperate need to be reconciled with God, the fruits that flow from it are profound and long-lasting. What is your attitude toward people of a different skin color? You wrestle with those things. It's a part of the fall. What's your attitude? There's one thing that fixes it. There's one thing that breaks down those animosities. There is one thing that changes our attitude toward people of different socioeconomic status. Only one thing. So skin color, socioeconomic status. What's your attitude toward people of the opposite gender? Are you a man who thinks that women are just weak, not as powerful, not as smart, not as whatever you think? Are you a woman who thinks that men are boorish and overbearing and are inconsiderate louts? Really? Do we really think that some trite statement from virtually anybody is going to change those deep-seated sinful attitudes that we all have in our hearts? The gospel comes along and says, here's what you need, a heart transplant, and I'm going to change your attitude, whatever it is. And perhaps you don't have a racial bone in your body, but you do have another type of bone. It's either sexist, it is either some sort of better than attitude towards somebody or something. It could be people of different height, of different body type, of different location, different country. Those are all fall issues. And we all have something in that big bag. And the gospel says, I'll fix that for you. And Galatians 3 makes it crystal clear. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Stop right there. The attitude of Jew and Greek, nasty business. The Jewish attitude toward the Greeks, toward the Gentile, and the Gentile attitude toward the Jews, it was intensely antagonistic, hateful toward one another. Oh, you're in Christ? No difference anymore. Now we find our identity in another. If you don't think that's shocking, consider the Samaritans, who were not really considered Jews by the Jews. These were the people, they're actually spoken about as 1st or 2nd Kings, goes back to 725. The Jews are deported to Assyria. And then there's a people that's left behind that they believe they were doing interbreeding with the Gentiles, with the pagans. And so when the Jews came back, probably no more Jewish in blood, in genealogy, than the Samaritans, had an attitude toward them. And it was ugly. A Jew wouldn't travel through Samaria, about a 45-mile, give or take, square mile little section above Jerusalem, above Judea. Wouldn't even travel through it. Wouldn't buy food there because, ugh, those people prepared it. Now consider Jesus going through that territory and speaking to a Samaritan woman and telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. Wait a second. Jesus lifts up the most disgusting and vile person, the people group, the people that the Jews absolutely despised, didn't think they were Jewish. They were as goyim in their estimation as the Greeks or the Egyptians or any of the pagans. And Jesus says that that guy was demonstrating a heart attitude of love toward people. It was a slam in right in the kisser of the Jewish people who hated those Samaritans. Why did Jesus choose to do this? Because Jesus loves Samaritans. Jesus loves Egyptians. Jesus loves Africans. Jesus loves all peoples. And he is the one who brings all peoples together. It's sin that separates. That's what the Tower of Babel is all about in Genesis 9. We are all separate. We got our boundaries. We got our skin colors. We got our languages. We got bad attitudes toward one another. What brings us together? The one that they were trying to kick off of his throne. He brings us back together. It's a reverse Tower of Babel where we all come together. Now every tribe, every tongue, every language, every skin color, all represented in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. Do you know that 90% Roman culture poor? And I'm talking dirt poor here. I'm talking these people, they live from day to day. They lived in these little dwellings that were terrified that they were going to somebody was going to start a fire. Waste thrown out into the streets, the stench, the disease. These people were ptosis poor. They didn't know where their next meal was going to come. 10% were pretty secure in Roman culture. 90% dirt poor. Don't think there were any attitude issues going on there. That the poor people weren't looked down at as being absolutely disgusting and only here necessarily because we need some labor? Do you think there's any animosity going in the other direction? Is that maybe why James talked about this particularly in his epistle? When a rich person comes in, you're careful how you treat that person because you might actually show favoritism because you want to get something out of them, which means you're not really showing favoritism. You're just using them. Those attitudes, all gone. All gone. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. Neither male nor female. Do you remember the pater familia or the pater potens, the father of the family? He would choose who lived and who died in the family. He made every decision. Mom stayed at home. It took some advancements until mom even could go out into public, could go to the baths, could go into the market. She stayed home, took care of the kids. Dad made every decision for the family. The powerful father, the head of the family, the man. You don't think there was a little sexual tension going on there and the gender wars that were taking place? You don't think there were any attitudes? You don't think there were any resentments that were going on between male and female? Look what Paul says. No more. No more. You've got faith in Jesus Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Male, female, rich, poor, slave, free. It could be argued that most of the Roman world was slave, if not close. You don't think that there was an attitude of entitlement for those who owned? You don't think there was an attitude of resentment toward those who were forced to have the name of another or just be called Onesimus? That brings us to a book in the Bible called Philemon. Philemon, who was a Christian, converted under the preaching of Paul, apparently wasn't behaving in a way that made Onesimus, his slave, his useful one, want to stick around. So what did he do? He runs off to Rome, where slaves often would go to anonymously live and to eke out a living. And he meets somebody named Paul, preaches the gospel, gets saved. Now, Paul sends him back. And what does he say? Brothers, brothers, love one another. Doesn't engage in, okay, he said this, and then you did that, and then you said that, and then when that, and then he did. Brothers, you're now one in Christ. Now he's truly useful to you because he's your brother. You have faith in Jesus Christ. You are all sons of God. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all one in Christ Jesus. And that includes black and white. Is responding to our cultural malaise naive by saying, we got to be preaching the gospel. We got to be preaching the gospel. Or is it indeed the most powerful message, the most unique and helpful message that we can bring to a very ailing planet? Paul thought so. And Jesus thought so. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.